All right, here we are. Welcome to our Bible study here on February 1st, 2023, as we are looking at chapter 8 in Revelation. First thing I want to do, though, like I say, is back up a little bit. If you want to write this down, I know some of you have that sheet that's got the time thing, a seven-year period and all that. But if you want to keep track of what's happened chapter by chapter, okay, chapter 1... John gets a vision of the glorified Christ, and he's walking amongst the lampstands, which are the churches. There's a description of him. And then chapters 2 and 3 are the letters that Jesus sends to the seven churches in Asia. And we found out that those churches, they were real churches back in the day, but they also represented different periods of church history. Then chapters 4 and 5... we get John actually in heaven, and he sees the throne of God. He sees the 24 elders there, which represents the church. He sees the four living creatures. And in the fifth chapter is where they're looking for someone that can open the seven-sealed will, the title deed to the earth is what it would be called. And Jesus comes forth and says, and he says he is going to break the seals. And so the seals are broken. Six of the seals are broken in chapter 6. We have the first seal, which is most people believe to be the Antichrist on the white horse, pretending to be Christ. And it says he has a bow, and he conquers and to conquer, is what it says. And then the second seal is the rider on the red horse, which is the horse of war, takes peace from the earth. Then the third seal is the rider on the black horse, thank you, which talks about famine and how expensive all the food would be, and man had to work all day and make enough money to have one meal, except for the rich, and of course they can have all they want. And then the fourth seal is that pale green horse, the horse of death. And that would follow after famine and after war, you would have that. And then the fifth seal, well, this is really important for today, too. The fifth seal was the martyrs, okay? Now, there were two waves of martyrs. This first wave came through, and I believe this wave came through in the first half of the tribulation period. Even though there was peace, as far as no war, still the Christians were being terribly persecuted. And these martyrs are going to heaven after they're being decapitated or whatever happens to them. They're going to heaven, and they're around the throne of God, and they're asking God, when are you going to avenge us? Let's go there real quick.
Chapter 6, verse 9.
And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under this altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? So that tells me that God hasn't started his wrath yet, even though we're into the tribulation at this time, even though they are being killed. God's wrath hasn't been poured out yet, because they're asking, when are you gonna do this? And he said, then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed.
Well, and so, resting. What is that? Explain that a little bit.
Well, the word rest. I mean, he's just saying you need to wait a little longer. Okay. You know. And then in chapter 7, we see two groups. Mm-hmm. The first group, they're sealed, supernaturally protected. And this would be the 144,000 Jews divided up into 12 tribes. So 12,000 per tribe to make 144,000. And they are sealed and protected while on earth. Mm-hmm. But then the second group, now, even J. Vernon kind of alluded to this. He said that the second group was sealed too, but they weren't really. This second group is that second wave of martyrs. If we go to there in chapter 7, verse 13, Then one of the elders saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know," which is kind of funny because it's like John doesn't know. He's saying, "You tell me." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, out of the great tribulation, and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." And it says, "Therefore they are before the throne of God, serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." So it says they came out of the great tribulation. So they were killed. And so this is that second wave. Now, the reason that I bring all this up is because now here that we're in chapter 8, now we're going to see, because they're in now. Both these groups are in the first and second wave. And he's got the 144,000 sealed and protected. So now it is time for the wrath of God. So let's start reading. I'll just read through it and we'll back up. Chapter 8. When he opened the seventh seal, now remember, the whole document is just seven seals. So we're already at the last seal. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel having a golden censer, and that censer can be translated bowl, just a bowl, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Now this is not a judgment yet. This is just happening before the judgment. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain. Now, something like a great mountain. Didn't say it was a great mountain. Something like a great mountain, because John is looking at this. Burning with fire, was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water, so there'd be fresh water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." So there's seven trumpets, and we see the first four here in chapter 8. And then we have these woes. Now, these three woes, the fifth trumpet is a woe, and the sixth trumpet is a woe, and then the seventh trumpet would be a woe, but that would include all seven bowls, because that seventh trumpet announces the pouring out of the bowls.
Yeah, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Just dawned on me. Mm-hmm. When we read up here about these are the ones who died in the great tribulation.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, does this mean now, after that, now we went in, you know, chapter 8, we're going to go through, that all these other people that die are not going to be born again?
What do you mean by all these other people?
Well, these other people that are living, and that's going to go through all this terrible, these woes. And,
are you talking about the ones that decide to follow Christ and somehow don't get killed? Are you talking about those people?
No, I'm I'm talking about anybody now on these seals and stuff. Are they everybody now all lost now?
No.
Because it's
because some people are miraculously surviving.
I know, but
not everybody who decides to get saved, they all don't get killed. There are people who are able to go underground, are able to join secret groups, and they're able to, because when you get to the sheep and goats judgment, there are sheep, there are people that live through it.
I know, but what I'm asking you now is up here, we read up in chapter 7, and he said to me, that he remember verse 14, and I said to him, sir, who are the ones? Who are the ones who knows? And he said to me, these are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes, and blood of the Lamb made them white. So, the great tribulation, these are the ones that have made it through the tribulation.
No, they didn't make it through the tribulation. They came out of the great tribulation because they were killed. And
right.
they're in heaven.
I got you.
But there were some that did not get killed. They were able to stay away. Or they weren't caught. They weren't captured. And they weren't executed.
So these are the martyrs.
These are the martyrs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then now going on to the 8th chapter and all the way through then until we get to, that these other people, then they'll go underground and whatever that will, some will accept Christ and they'll have to hide.
Yes.
To
get through.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Gotcha.
Okay, so, like I said, the three woes, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fifth trumpet's a woe, the sixth trumpet's a woe, and the seventh trumpet, which includes all the seven bowls,
mm-hmm.
is a woe. Okay. Now, let's go back and look at this. Let's go back to where we start seeing the first angel sounds there in verse 7. Hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. Now, where that blood comes from, I don't know. Can't explain it, but it's the wrath of God. It's a judgment straight from God. And a third of the trees are burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now, this is really interesting because we'll see this third here a lot. If you look at a map of the earth, at the different land masses, like if you just look at North America, that's not a third of the land. It's not as much. If you look at South America, that's not a third. But if you look over in Asia, where Russia and China and Europe are, all that's just like one huge land mass. It's called Eurasia. It's really two continents, but it's all lumped into one. That would easily be a third of all the land. And so, does it hit just one section? Would that be a third? Or would there be like scattered around trees all over the world that make up a third? To me, it would make more sense that it would be one section that was hit, by this hail and fire and blood. Either way, it's an absolute catastrophe. So let's look at the second angel. It says something like a great mountain. Now, John is looking at this. He's seeing this vision. He says something like a great mountain, something very large, burning with fire, was thrown into the sea. So we're talking salt water. A third of the sea became blood. Again, are we talking about a portion of the sea over here on the globe and a portion over here? Or are we talking about the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean? Which are two, both of them are huge oceans, and perhaps one would be about a third of all the earth is 70% water, seawater, basically. And would that pollute an entire huge ocean? But think what that would do. It says a third of the living creatures in the sea died. You talk about an ecological disaster, and a third of the ships were destroyed. And just think about how that would impact the earth. And then it says, a third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. Now, this makes sense because we know that when meteors like enter the atmosphere, they're coming in at such a great speed that they're on fire. They're like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers. Now we're talking about freshwater. Okay, so this could be, you know, Great Lakes. They're freshwater. And the springs of water. So we're talking about rivers. We're talking about lakes. We're talking about big water basins that's freshwater. And the name of the star is Wormwood. Now, I have an explanation on the Wormwood. Where is that? I saw it here just one. Wormwood is a plant found in the Middle East, known for its bitter taste. Here and elsewhere, the term is figurative for bitterness. Normally, wormwood is not poisonous, but the plague of the third trumpet involves effects far more potent than the taste of this bitter plant. So, it was known to be very bitter, but apparently in this case, it was also deadly. Because it says many men died from the water because it was made bitter. So all this fresh water, a third of the fresh water was polluted, you know, and couldn't drink it.
Which is three-thirds, and they're only mentioning a third three times. A third here, a third there, and a third there, right? Mm-hmm. That's only how, three-thirds, right?
Mm-hmm. It's not a different, wouldn't necessarily be a different third. I mean, a third of the trees, a third of the salt water, and then a third of the freshwater. So three different types. It's not talking about a third of the whole earth. It's just talking about a third of the fresh water, a third of the seawater, and a third of the trees.
Can I say something?
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking he's talking about the whole earth.
I'm referencing some of this. Okay. And where I'm referencing is all back in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And on the first angel, it goes to Ezekiel 38:20, and it's talking about the message of Gog. And so I guess what I'm saying is it seems to me that all this takes place, all this destruction takes place over in the Middle East.
Well, it would have to be more than that to be a third. Because even if it was the Mediterranean Sea, that would be a lot less than a third, you know.
Well, I was just reading, you know, what it says here. It says, I will summon the sword against you. It's just God talking. Mm-hmm. Against you on all the hills. And wait a minute.
Is calling out Gog and Magog, calling out the Russia and the Muslim countries to come against Israel.
And that's where
just because it's a reference doesn't mean it's exactly the same thing. It just means it's similar, you know. I really don't understand why that would even be a reference. It's totally different than what this is talking about. Except for the fact that he used hail and fire and brimstone to destroy the armies.
Yeah,
that might be why that's a reference.
Well, that's what it says. I will summon the sword against you on all the hills, crumble walls with fall to the earth. Wait, set. I will summon the sword against you on all the hills of Israel, says the Sovereign Lord. Your men will turn their swords against each other. I will punish you and your armies with the disease and bloodshed. I will send torrential rain, hailstones, fire, and burning sulfur.
Mm-hmm. And so they're saying, well, that's kind of similar to what happened here with the hail and the fire.
It's a different time, though.
Different time, different situation, but it's the same hail and fire coming down. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And now some of these plagues, some of these judgments are going to be similar also to the plagues of Egypt. So we'll look at that, too. So, okay, let's look at the fourth angel. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. Now, this is a hard thing to explain. There's been a lot of theories about this, what does this mean? It could simply mean, if you have a lot of things going on, maybe you have a lot of volcanoes erupting or whatever, because of this star that came down, whatever. In some cases I've read where they say like the ash from a volcano, I mean, it can go out for miles and miles and miles in the atmosphere and it dims everything. You're trying to look through the ash and you can't see the sun. The sun is not shining as brightly. The moon is, you can't see the moon as well because there's all this, this aerosol in the atmosphere and you can't see through it. That's the most likely explanation because, I mean, how would you decrease the time? You know, that would just be really, really strange. And it's, again, you have to look at what John is seeing, you know, and he's seeing the sun being more, it's not shining as brightly, and he's seeing the moon, it's not shining as brightly. And that could all simply be because he can't see through the atmosphere.
Well, is not the tribulation mainly for the Jews because they
yes.
didn't believe?
Yes, it's to bring them around. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In some of this stuff that John writes too, do you think he is limited by the English language?
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
What he's seeing too?
Most definitely. Right. Yes, mm-hmm. for sure. Actually, in the Greek, had more words, specific words for, well, just like I mentioned in our newsletter this time, I was talking about the English word love. Mm-hmm. They had at least four words for love that was very specific. And they had a word for romantic love. They had a word for friendship or brotherly love.
Yeah.
They had a word for love between a mother and child, like within a family. And they had a word for God's love,
agape.
And so those were four specific words in the Greek, and in English it's just love with a lot of different definitions. So, yeah, he probably was limited, like trying to explain it, but he can't find the right words. You know, that's like when Paul had his vision of heaven, when he went to heaven and he came back down, he said, you know, I can't explain everything that I saw. You know, maybe he saw colors that are not of this world. How do you explain the color blue to a blind person, blind from birth? It's impossible. You can't do it. You know, you don't have any reference or any color to a blind person.
So then when this was translated into English, it is limited again.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because
yeah.
we have less words.
Mm-hmm. And that's why sometimes Bible scholars are, you know, forced to just kind of try to theorize. And there's some things we don't know for sure. Some people think they do, but they don't really know. But you just try to envision what he's looking at. And we're going to see a lot more of this where John sees these really weird creatures, you know, like with long hair and faces and wings and stuff. And we're thinking, what's he looking at? Is he looking at demonic creatures, or is he looking at modern day planes and helicopters and military equipment? You know, it's hard to say. Well, you know, but he's seeing these things and trying to describe them. I mean, how would a person who's never seen anything modern, how would you describe a helicopter? I mean, how would, you know, you think, because they think in terms of creatures.
Yeah.
And how can something like that be flying? It must be an animal of some kind, you know, so.
Airplane with wings.
Yeah, you know thinking, well, that's a creature, a weird-looking creature.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, actually, it's an airplane. But he don't know it's an airplane because he's never seen one.
on the other hand, some of them may actually be demonic creatures, you know, that he's seen. So
that's what my footnote said about this locust coming up in the next chapter.
Yeah, yeah.
Not actually locusts; they're demons, evil mm-hmm. spirits.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, some of this we can be pretty sure about, but then there's other things we, like Julie was saying, he lacked the language to express it, or he lacked the knowledge of the future to be able to figure out what he was looking at. You know?
Did you ever think about what this meant about, it says there in the first verse, when the Lamb broke the seventh seal on the scroll, there was silence throughout heaven for a half an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was like the calm before the storm.
Like,
You know.
I wonder what.
If a thousand, 20 years like a thousand to God, how long is that half hour?
Yeah. Yeah. That, yep. Right.
So how long?
Yeah.
Is
it, I mean, well, I, yeah.
It, yeah. It could. It could have been a long, long time. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Like an eternity. But I mean, wonder what the silence.
But this was
for.
Something they were all anticipating, and certainly the martyrs were saying, "Come on, avenge
so
us."
So the silence was, you know, because they knew what was going to take place. I mean, what, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And so the 144,000 have been sealed; they're protected. The martyrs have been already killed, and they're now in heaven. And so now, you know, God. I mean, like. If you think about it, you know, God got Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah before he judged them. He got Noah and his family in the ark before he judged the world. You know, so there's different
so
situations.
So are we in the full
he,
force now in the tribulation time?
I think so. I think this would be, in my opinion, in the second half of the tribulation. Mm-hmm. Probably maybe even further into the second half because mm-hmm. these things happen. I mean, you get the feeling here, then, you get the feeling that these are happening very quickly, one after the other. Mm-hmm. And then when that seventh trumpet blows, those bowls, I think, happen very quickly. Because those bowls are so bad, I don't see how the earth can continue after that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole sea turns into blood. And where the trumpets are bad, the bowls are a lot worse. And they happen very quickly. So, okay, that finishes up this chapter. Next week we'll go into chapter 9. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this chapter. We thank you for the fact that God does what he says he's going to do, and he protects his people. But there is a time, he's a very merciful God, but there is a time when judgment must come. And we are seeing that, and we need to understand it for what it is. And we need to know that someday this will happen. It will become reality, dear Lord. And we pray that as we go through this book of Revelation, that you'll give us more understanding and reveal the truth to us. In Jesus' name, amen.